Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, and we thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. If you want to listen online, go to afr.net, and you can download the app. You can download the app and listen anywhere in the world as long as you have high-speed internet. Just go to afr.net, afr.net. Millions of people are without power today across the country, mainly in the state of Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, I guess Tennessee and Kentucky, but the worst hit state was Texas. Fred, you said 4 million plus out of power?
As of 8 o'clock this morning, yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm. I'm reading stories. This is from Houston Chronicle. Just about people trying to stay warm. Some people are sleeping in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
To stay warm. Other people are building little fires outside. This is
serious.
This is serious because they already have documented deaths.
Yes.
From these freezing temperatures, but you put somebody in this situation who doesn't have family, who's maybe elderly, who doesn't have anybody to help them, and put them in 15 degree weather for 3 days. This is insane. The governor, they're going to have to declare an emergency. They're going to have to do something because you've got more ice coming the next few days through Texas and through the South. So I don't know when they're going to get power back on, but they're going to have to figure something out.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to send the military in. Military has big generators to some of these community centers.
Yeah.
So that to make sure at these community centers, at least people can find some refuge. Tucker Carlson was saying, that we got refugees in Houston, Texas today, folks. Refugees.
Let me ask you guys something here. I was looking up. I'm just saying, for example, what's the upcoming weather for Houston area?
There's one more wave moving across the country. Of really bad weather.
It's 22 today in Houston.
Yeah.
Highly unusual.
Mm-hmm. With probably a wind chill of 15.
And under another windstorm warning.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's probably that way across the whole, at least from I-35 west. I don't know. I'm guessing maybe even further west in Texas. But so it's going to be another one, another wave.
Yeah. Another wave of ice. This one's going to be ice.
Let me ask you this question. Maybe we don't know the answer. None of us are electricians or electrical engineers. But power outages aren't typically caused by just snow, right?
No.
Power outages are caused by like freezing rain, things like that, bus transformers and
brings down wires.
Yeah, the weight on if rain freezes on power lines, it adds a bunch of weight. All that ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's where lines go down.
Yeah, see, in my neighborhood, it's a relatively new community, and I know a lot of neighborhoods are going this way, but underground, the power lines are underground.
Yeah,
yeah. The neighborhoods, like you say, newer neighborhoods, they've buried the utilities like that, but. The problem is the electricity to the neighborhood.
Yes, true.
Is still on poles.
It does help. You can get an entire neighborhood back up with one fix, instead of having to drive through a neighborhood and put a bunch of poles back up. Mm-hmm. Once you get the main poles going to the neighborhood back, the whole neighborhood comes back up.
Yeah. Probably in the last 10, 15 years, maybe longer, maybe 20 years. I'm trying to think.
Wesson Heights in Saitillo, our neighborhood.
Yeah,
where we grew up, it's underground.
Yeah, probably more like 25 years since they started putting power lines underground.
Yeah.
But still, like you said, Fred, even those communities with power lines underground, most of the time the power being, you know, going to those underground cables are from above ground power lines. So if they go down, still it shuts everything down. But 4 million people, that's just shocking, that are without power. Mm-hmm. And to double the problems, Walker, as you're saying, frigid temperatures.
Yeah.
Pray for our friends who are, well, in all sorts of trouble here in these various and different, and the power companies. I don't know how in the world you're able to get, you know what I'm saying? Get as many, get power workers. Many of them would have to come from other states. That's how we do it. You'll see trucks from, I think I saw trucks from Indiana last night.
Yeah.
In our neighborhood, in Mississippi, and I'm sure that Texas. But you know what? If you have a swath of this weather problem that hits a third or half the country, people in those states can't necessarily send people to help their neighboring states because they got their own problems.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, just to finish off our story on the divide in the Republican Party, we're talking about Republicans like Mitch McConnell, Nikki Haley, and others who are still out condemning the president, and, you know, Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Murkowski of Alaska, they're all senators that voted against the president.
There were 7 of them.
7 of them, correct.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Republican from South Carolina, he was interviewed on the weekend in the wake of the acquittal vote, and he said, you know, the Republican Party cannot win without Donald Trump's help. He believes the grassroots support for Donald Trump is just that strong. And that was being demonstrated yesterday at a pep rally down there in Florida where former President Trump now lives. Yesterday was President's Day, but they had their own parade to honor former President Trump, and he showed up for that parade. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like yesterday. Cut 4. And there were Trump signs everywhere, including signs that said Trump in 2024. And I would say that would be repeated in places right across the country. So the Republican Party has to figure out its direction and who is going to take them there. And that's a real problem for them right now.
Do you have did you say you had a soundbite from Lindsey Graham?
No, I don't have that. Soundbite
was from him being interviewed.
Yeah.
And he said exactly what you just said, Fred, basically that President Trump and the Republican Party need to figure out a way to work together.
Yeah.
And that's what Lindsey Graham
I think they do. I think President Trump has, to me, he's been kind of quiet because he's off Twitter. Maybe he'll come back on another platform. But I see President Trump working with Republicans in the coming months and years to continue leadership in the Republican Party. I mean, he's going to be a big player in 2022 in the midterms.
Yeah.
And don't let Washington fool you. The Republicans, many of them want President Trump to campaign with them.
Yes.
To campaign for them because of his energy and because of his following.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, quite frankly, I never thought after George W. Bush, that we would see another Republican president in my lifetime. I know that sounds crazy, President Trump came along and changed that. Of course, he narrowly won, but he won nonetheless in 2016. So the reason I say that is, Fred and Walker, is because the Electoral College map is stacked against a national election going in favor of the Republicans. Now, Republicans can win governorships. They can win House seats. We saw how many House seats that they picked up. Mm-hmm. In November, they almost caught Nancy Pelosi. and ousted her as speaker.
Yeah.
Lord, may that happen in 2022. But and they held their own in the Senate.
Yeah.
The Republicans, I mean, as a party.
Right.
But it's just so hard for Republicans to get to 270 Electoral College votes. Now, because of California, is just a deep blue, whacked out state.
Right.
And I'm not indicting. There are a lot of good people who live in California, but their politics is just controlled by far lefties. You got the state, then you add that. That's the largest state in the country. And they get, so the Democrats get all the Electoral College votes. Mm-hmm. Then they get all the ones from New York. State of New York, which is controlled by New York City, which is whacked out liberal.
Yeah.
And then you got Illinois. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, those are all locked in before Election Day.
Yeah. And the Republicans really only have Texas and now Florida.
Yeah.
So it is encouraging if you're a Republican to say Florida is trending red.
Yeah.
Walker.
Yeah, especially with Governor DeSantis.
That's why so much is left up to Pennsylvania, another large state. Michigan, another large state.
Yeah, Georgia was a shocker. I mean, I did not expect Georgia to go blue.
No, and I have my hat right here in my hand.
You never ate it, did you?
I never ate it. I did say before the presidential election, if Trump lost Georgia, I would eat my hat. So,
yeah.
But now I know there are a lot of people thinking, well, he didn't lose Georgia. He won Georgia, but he was cheated out of it. Okay. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you I'm just can saying say that every election.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the certified votes went for Biden.
Right.
And it shouldn't have been that close.
Right.
And then the Democrats won the two. And if you say, let's just for a minute, I don't want to dwell on this, but if you just say, okay, let's discount, let's don't consider the potential for voter fraud in Georgia. Let's just take the results at face value. I was told by a friend who lives there for a long time, political operative there on the Republican side, that the changing demographics of the greater Atlanta area is impacting Georgia.
Yeah.
Just like Chicago does Illinois, just like, what are some other cities? Phoenix does Arizona. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That and there were some other factors there. So that has changed Georgia. Georgia's you have to consider Atlanta now, 6 million people, and so many of them are from other parts of the. They're not native Southerners.
Yeah, Georgia's now a battleground, I guess.
Well, I guess so. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead, Fred.
Yes. Next story: Dateline Minneapolis, Minnesota. And if I was writing a headline for this story, guys, it would be "A Strange Thing Happened on the Way to Defunding Our Police Department." And the strange thing that happened was reality. Now, you will remember from last year, in the wake of the very tragic death of George Floyd, an African-American man, that started and kicked off violent protests around the country, including Minneapolis. Our good friend up in that area, Jan Markell, says, what, 3 blocks, at least, of the city have been totally destroyed in those protests.
Yeah.
So the city council, you will remember, Democrat, far, far, far left Democrat, said, we have a solution to racism in our city. We're going to defund the police department. We're going to put social workers in our police cars, and they'll resolve the problem. So what has happened since then? What has happened is that City Hall is getting increased phone calls saying, you know, we call the police department and they're sure slow showing up. And violent crime has gone up in the city. They've lost due to early retirement and police officers quitting. They've lost over 200 police officers in that city. So lo and behold, it was really shocking. The headline last Friday evening, City Council in Minneapolis, remember now, they were going to get rid of their police department, defund it. They voted to spend an extra $6.4 million to upgrade their police department, hire more police officers. Now, is it too little, too late? We'll wait and see. There was a businessman from Minneapolis that was interviewed, I believe this morning on Fox, Jay Ettinger, and he talks a little bit about what has happened to him as a business owner in Minneapolis. That's cut number five.
The difference is, and I can't tell you what's in our city council's hearts. It wouldn't be fair of me to say what's in their hearts. But what I can tell you is they saw a whole different kind of opportunity. They saw an opportunity to take down a system, and they've got a lot of blood on their hands right now because of it. We had over 550 people shot in our city in 2020. We had over 80 murders, and the far majority of those people, those victims, were people of color. And so I don't know exactly who they think they're helping, because this defund the police movement has hurt the black community in our city more than any other. And the black leadership in our city is not being heard. Our faith leaders, our educators, our coaches, they're just not being heard by the city council.
And
did you hear the figures?
500.
That man just gave?
500 shot, right? In 2020.
The only news source that I could find for this right now is Fox News. This story is not being told on CNN and the Associated Press and these other left-leaning news agencies. You want to know why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Yeah.
People are dying. Did you hear what this businessman said? It's adversely affecting the African-American community in that city.
Well, that's their problem because they voted for it. You know, you're reaping the consequences of your own votes. The city council of Minneapolis was voted on and elected by the citizens of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if they got a problem with crime, and then that's their own fault.
They need to fix it at the ballot box.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, you vote your own demise.
Right.
I was just figuring this up. The city of Minneapolis itself, now this is not the greater Twin Cities area, which is probably 2.5 million people or so, maybe more than that, 3 million, I don't know, close, somewhere around what I've just described. But the municipality of Minneapolis has 440,000 people. They're down to 638 police officers.
Yep.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute. A city of 440,000 people.
Oh, my goodness.
Is down to 638 police officers. And from what I'm reading here and what you're saying, Fred, they can't recruit any new folks to come in because of the way that the police have been treated there.
Yeah.
And you got to consider, too, even if you're able to get new recruits to come into Minneapolis to be an officer, many of them are going to be greenhorns, aren't they? Newbies.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You really want brand new
rookies.
You want 20% of your police force being rookies who are trying to deal with the kind of criminals they have to deal with in an inner city like Minneapolis? That's asking for trouble in itself. That's why you need veteran police officers. But a lot of the veteran police officers are retiring, are getting out of Dodge because they don't want any part of, you know, potentially getting in a conflict with a young African-American male on a traffic stop this afternoon and end up having to use their gun, and the next thing they know, their life's over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's not worth the risk.
What's the saying? Reality is a brutal teacher?
Yeah, that's what Ed says.
Yeah, this is reality. Reality is that human nature is bent towards bad behavior. Ever since, you read Genesis. This is not complicated stuff. And if you don't have police, law enforcement to enforce laws and protect innocent citizens, then you have chaos.
Yeah.
And when you demonize police as that they're all the bad guy, then you got police officers who go somewhere else.
Yes.
They go to a police department where they're appreciated and not demonized.
So let's just remember, just to review here, City Council of Minneapolis voted to defund the police.
Yes.
Last summer, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
In the wake of the George Floyd protest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you voted for it. They defunded them. I don't think they completely defunded them, but you know what I'm saying. They reduced the city budget that went to police officers, the police department. well, this is what you get.
Yeah.
This is what you get.
This.
And now they're clamoring, oh, no, we got to hire new ones. You know, we got to reverse course here.
Yeah, this, how this is being handled, a similar situation or analogy would be like having a doctor or a nurse who is guilty of malpractice. Maybe they a surgery gone wrong and it's proven that they should have done something different. And then as a result, the hospital starts to defund doctors and nurses and demonize and talk about how bad doctors and nurses are and how they're responsible for the issues our society faces.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here. And they did the same thing with police officers. And now he said they have over 500 shot and over 60 murders, over 60 deaths. Like a war zone.
Yeah.
We may want to talk to a police officer or officers or sometime on this program about the difference between proactive policing and responding to a 911 call, for example. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of, am I correct? There's preventative police work that may stop crimes from happening because they are proactive.
Yeah.
And then there is what I describe as a reactive response.
Which is responding to a 911 call.
Right.
When something's already occurred.
Right. Responding. Yeah. All right, Fred.
Well, I'm not sure if Minneapolis has totally made a turn in their philosophy yet because on the job specs, you know, they're posting for new police officer jobs. They're looking for people who may have degrees in social work and psychology or counseling.
Well, good luck with that one.
Well,
huh?
You know, don't get me wrong. I think these people have important roles to play.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? If I've got somebody trying to break into my house.
Don't send a social worker.
And I call 911.
No.
And we're going to send Harvey over, who has a degree in social work.
He'll be wearing a sweater.
Yeah.
And some sneakers and look like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll have a little
notepad.
A little notepad.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm on that 911 call,
it's not reality, and they're finding that out now.
But like Tim, back to your point, it's not just Minneapolis; it's Portland, Oregon; it's Seattle. I mean, these are supposedly smart people, but they're just not dealing with reality.
Yeah,
it's
well. Somebody said liberalism is a mental disorder, and it is, and it is. Most all ideas from liberals fail. They don't work. I'm not talking about the ideology of it or the morality of it. I'm just talking about they don't work. Defunding the police doesn't work. If you want to stop crime, and if you want to live in a city of lawlessness and anarchy, go for it.
Yeah.
But if you want to have law and order and stability in your community, you have to have a strong police force.
Right.
And that's common sense right there. But the liberalism is a mental disorder equals lack of common sense. Am I right?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Absolutely.
All right, Fred.
All right, take care,
Thank
guys.
Thank you for all this encouraging news you've been able to share with us.
We'll be
this
back
morning.
Tomorrow with more.
Yeah, and hopefully a lot of folks will get their power on.
Yes.
Before tomorrow. All right, Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our thanks to Dr. Frank Turek for joining us and for Brent Creeley. Brent ran our control board for us today. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, and we will see you back here tomorrow, everybody.